tearjerker.
They say the revolution won't be televised. I guess that's why the world turn and pause and moan when Tupac and Malcolm die. All my bloods and thugs and Harlem Knights, keep reading, keep writing, keep fighting for our queens. Fools, pawns, trading kings, lie for temporary cause and charms. I'm the son of Nat Turner, the godson of Nikki Giovanni, nephew of Asada Shakur, second son of Afeni Shakur. So you know the pride of the Panthers in me. Marcus Garvey's red, black, and green. It's in me. Fools getting shot down, locked up for material living. This is all genocide. Let's get free or die trying to save our nation and children. Let's get free or die trying to save our nation and children. Let's get free or die trying to save our nation and children.
Dream. Ain't nothing but another calculated scheme to get us locked up, shut up and back insane. Who denies us the future, rob our names. Kept my history a mystery, but now I see the American dream wasn't meant for me. Cause Lady Liberty's a hypocrite, she lied to me. Promised for freedom, education, equality. Never gave me nothing but slavery. And now looking how dangerous it made me. Calling me a madman, cause I'm strong and bold. With this scuffle of knowledge of the lies it told. Promised me emancipation and this new nation. All you ever gave my people were starvation. Fathers of this country never cared for me. They kept my ancestors shackled up in slavery. And Uncle Sam never did a damn thing for me. Step live by the facts in my history. So now I'm sitting here mad cause I'm unemployed. But the government's glad cause they enjoy when my people are down so they can screw us around. Time to change the government now. Panther power. Panther power.
Black power, black power, black power, and more black power to my people. It's your brother, soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Sean Saddam Kweli. Happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hells and smells of North America. As always, this is a privilege. It's a joy. It's an honor. It's an esteemed pleasure to be able to talk to you from this bold revolutionary radio broadcast, Black Power Radio. We come to you every week, and if this is your first time listening, second time listening, or if you're a long time listener and here with us all these years we've been on the air, we appreciate you. We've been bringing this truth and bringing this heat, and this is one of the few places where you know that when you tune in, we're going to bring it raw, uncut, unrelenting, unflinching. We give thanks to the God of Africa, the God of our forefathers and foremothers, the God of our people, that almighty wise creator who answers to many different names, giving thanks to that God for spreading many nations, men and women, from our tribe and our people, our clan, our nation, the original black man and black woman, but first having us as the architects of this society and civilization, as it is true, the black man and the black woman are the mother and father of civilization. Can make no mistake about that. Leakey didn't lie. Anthropologists didn't lie. Nobody lied when they told you the black man and black woman are the first. And so we are the first, and we are happy to be here with you and talk to you in representation of all of our ancestors who were the great builders, who were the great teachers, who were the great leaders, who were the great scholars, who were the great scientists, who were the great mathematicians, who were the great founders, who were the great kings, queens, rulers, and who were the great people in general. We represent them to you tonight. And even when we came into the hands of a brutal taskmaster, whose sole purpose and aim was complete capitalism and complete destruction, and wanted to make money and make aims and games by any means necessary on the back of black people, even after we came into contact with that brutal people called the Caucasians, who came up out of the Caucasus Mountains. And even after they tried to fully enslave our people and rob us of our names and rob us of our languages, rob us of our culture, rob us of our folkways, our forays, our norms, and the power of our own being, even after coming into contact with them, we still held on, and we still fought, and we still pushed forward. And so we thank all of our freedom fighters, those who took lives, and of course had to end the struggle, give some life. We're thankful for all of them who pushed a revolutionary line, a killer be killed line, and made the sacrifice for the black nation and for black youth in general, for blackness in general. We're thankful for them. And of course, thankful for all of those who formed the many organizations that made up our resistance movements. We're talking about the Deacons for Defense. We're talking about CORE. We're talking about, even in its greatest days, the NAACP. Talking about SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Of course, we're talking about RAM. We're talking about many great organizations such as the UNIA and the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Great organizations such as Noble Drew Ali and the Morris Science Temple of America. Great organizations such as the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Great organizations such as the OAAU, or Organization of All African American Unity, or African Unity, by Minister Malcolm X. Great organizations like the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, founded in Lowndes County, Alabama, under Stokely Carmichael, and moving on up to the West Coast and became the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense under Huey P. Newton and Brother Bobby Seale, or any organization that you could think of. We're thankful on Black Power Radio for them, and we give them praise and honor on this radio broadcast, as we understand that without organization, you cannot make forward motion. You cannot defeat an organized enemy being disorganized. And so, as the Honorable Kwame Ture, formerly Stokely Carmichael, taught us, he said that you must organize. You must organize, organize, organize. We must join an organization, the Honorable Kwame Ture said. And so we're thankful for all of those organizers and organizations that came in the name of black people. Some pushing for reform, some pushing for education, some pushing for equality, some pushing for black women's rights, some pushing for black men's rights, some taking a bold militant stance and shouting black power, others being underground and making underground moves to support the above ground moves. We're thankful for those organizations, and even those that you know in your head. I'm thankful for them tonight. But if we live to be the ripe old age of Methuselah, which is 969 years, we can never thank God enough for a bold, bald-headed black man, 100% black man, straight no chaser, uncompromising, unrelenting, flinching with this enemy, who said out of his own mouth, I'm not making this up, that his purpose on the planet was to give the white man hell from the cradle to the grave, to return the brutality, to return the slander, to return the fire that the white man and white woman had historically put on black people for the last 400 plus years. I'm talking about the Black Power General and that brother who served And this organization is national chairman from the year of 1998 until 2001, when he made his physical transition from amongst us and amongst this planet. I'm talking about the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, whose name lives forever. His name lives forever amongst the new Black Panther Party and the Black Nation. And we thank God for that founding, that foundational start that he spread right from Dallas, Texas with Aaron Michaels, and from that start that happened with the Black Panther Militia up there in Milwaukee, Wisconsin with Michael McGee. We're thankful for them. But we have to be thankful and show thanks and gratitude for a man who, when the Black Power General his leave and did his work, completed his work, and completed his mission and laid his foundation. We're thankful to a brother who was able to take the torch at a time when the leadership of the organization was in influx, at a time when men and women believed that the organization would die because the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad made his physical transition. And so, that black man stepped to the scene and stepped to the stage, being a Howard University law student, being a professional and a professional organizer, coming up with the idea of Unity Nation, and coming up with the idea of Black Lawyers for Justice in 1996. This black man organized to keep the new Black Panther Party alive, and really the Black Panther name in general, black power, black nationalism, pan-Africanism, revolutionary nationalism. This brother pushed it and made it have a name and a voice in North America, and you got to know his name. He served as our chairman from all that time of 2001 on down into 2013. He just recently ended his term. He served that whole 12-year span faithfully and unrelenting to hold the line and the foundation of the Black Power General and to push us forward. And he says that he not only would pin the tail on the honky, as our teaching leader, Dr. Collins, say, but he also say that he come to push a donkey, a hard-hearted, stiff-necked, and rebellious black man and black woman on up the road of self-determination. I'm talking about the Attorney General and Attorney at War, former National Chairman of the new Black Panther Party, President of Black Lawyers for Justice, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. And so now we push forward into the future, all with bold leadership and fresh leadership and well-trained soldiers, male and female, who at any given time, no matter if you take one of the heads away or two of the heads away, that we can always cover down. This body can continue and this mission can continue, and we can regenerate like a phoenix on that beast. And so we thank, and we're thankful to the Creator and that almighty, wise, supreme force in the universe that has blessed us with another bold black man from the student class and the revolutionary class of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And so that when Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz finished his term, we wouldn't miss a beat in the action at all, wouldn't even have so much as a hiccup in the action, but that we would push forward with right guidance and guidance that is fit for the time. And so I'm talking about a brother now who served with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad from the year of 1994 until he made his physical transition. A man who was shot in Riverside, California with the Black Power General. A man who helped to organize all of the Million Youth Marches. A man who has been behind most every major move and maneuver that the new Black Panther Party has had in at least the last 15 to 20 years. I'm talking about our national chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga. We bring you greetings. On behalf of our National Central Committee, all of our chapters, and of course those of you who are full-time listeners of this broadcast, greetings to you, whether it's Assalamu Alaikum, whether it's Hotep, Shalom, Shalom, Shealafia Neem, Abaragani, Alafia, or as the Black Power Generals say, what's up? Peace and blessings, peace to the gods, peace to the earth. We're back. We're talking about tonight positive black male images, positive black male and female images. How do we take the control of our televisions and take control of our radios to affect change in our community? How to use black TV and radio to take control of our community? We will hear tonight, of course, from our national chairman, who will be bringing on a special guest with him. He is the CEO. That's what I said. The CEO of National Black TV, Brother Kariah Ben Yeranahan. I hope I said that right. You know, we got these African names. Brother Kariah Ben Yeranahan. I think I said it right that time. He's the CEO of National Black TV. And I know many of you say, well, what is National Black TV? You're going to find out tonight. All this time you've been sitting back, plugged into VH1. All this time sitting back, plugged into BET. All this time sitting back, plugged in, some of you, to MTV or NBC or CNBC or ABC, MSNBC, CBS, Fox News. And this whole time, you never knew that there was a National Black TV. And he's going to talk to us tonight, and we're going to talk to him tonight. And we're going to talk about the importance of the portrayal of our brother and sister, and brothers and sisters, men and women across the television screen. This is very important in this day and time. Of course, it's very important in these days and time. As we are now, some of you have probably seen the movie 12 Years a Slave. 12 Years a Slave shaking up movie theaters all across America. And men and women all around America bracing themselves for this cinematic experience of a black man who spent 12 years in servitude, slavery under the white man. No sunshine for his day, just a slave. But as we say, that's the movie. But we got to have also positive black male and black female images across our screens. Positive black male and black female audio coming up out of our speakers and our systems, our radio stations. What's going on with the programming in this country that every time you turn the television on, there's some coonery and some buffoonery. There's some savagery. There's some filth. All you see is our sisters shaking themselves, just shaking themselves like it's an earthquake sandwich. Just an earthquake. 7.1, 8.3 on the Richter scale, just shaking yourself, shaking it like a Polaroid picture. That's all you see. That's all you see. And you see our brothers dressed up in all kind of colors, dressed up looking like a Crayola crayon box. Yellow, bright orange, pink, fuchsia, purple, all kinds of earrings, all kind of this and that, just making a fool of yourself, running around, some of you even wearing mini skirts, some of you wearing women's leggings and women's clothing. I saw one fool running around wearing women's lipstick talking about he ain't gay. One of them rappers out there. Other images, men kissing men, talking about that's my son, that's my child. Grown men kissing each other on the mouth. What's going on with the black male and black female images portrayed to our people and broadcast throughout the world? You have young girls coming up believing that lesbianism is the way to go because they see it broadcast on the television. Young men believing it's okay to let another man palm their behind because you've seen it on the television. What's going on with the images that are shown to us? If you can remember, Minister and Dr. Huey P. Newton said that you cannot, that's talking to us, we cannot expect the media to produce positive black male or black female images. Huey P. Newton said, cannot expect the media to produce positive black male or black female images. Why did he say that? He said that because the inception of this country, we have been treated as second-class citizens, really third or fourth class. Second class might be aight for some of you all, but third and fourth class and second-class citizens, forcibly brought here as slaves, and have never been treated completely equal to white people. The stereotypes of blacks being shown in the media as lazy or stupid or foolish or cowardly or irresponsible or submissive to the white man and white woman, childish or violent or subhuman, animal-like. That's all you see in society, all these degrading stereotypes that are reinforced and enhanced by the negative portrayal of your people in the media, black characters that appear in these films in America. The beginning of the film industry in 1888, blacks were not even hired, or paid to portray other black actors or black characters in early works. Remember, they used to use white actors and white actresses, and they would hire them and make them show up or play or portray the character in blackface. They would refuse to hire black actors to portray the black characters, and demeaning stereotypes were all the time being created as blacks all the while were presented in an unfavorable light. Blacks were purposely portrayed in films with negative stereotypes that reinforced the idea of white supremacy over black people. And this, brothers and sisters and others, has had a tremendous effect on the society's view of blacks since motion pictures have had so much of an aspect or an impact, pardon me, on the public mind than any other entertainment medium in the last 90-plus years. What does the media do? The media sets the tone for the morals, for values, and the image shown about our culture. I'm going to say it again. The media sets the tone for the morals, values, and images of our culture. Many people right here in this country, some who have never encountered black people, believe that the degrading stereotypes of blacks are based on reality and they're not fiction. So many of you, when you see Nicki Minaj and she got all kind of porcelain teeth in her mouth and she looking crazy, all kind of ways and stuff and eyes all big, some of you out there believe that's how you should look. Or when you see these others these other entertainers out here, as I said, with these dresses on and some of them with bras on and lipstick on and doing all kind of freakish behavior, some of you brothers believe that's how you should be because you've seen it in the media. And the media gives the stamp of approval to what most black males and black females believe is okay. Again, setting the tone for the morals and the values and the images of our culture. So after over a century plus of movie making, these stereotypes, they plague us to this day. And brothers and sisters, until negative images of blacks are extinguished from the media, I mean fought from the media and in the media, blacks will always be regarded as second class, third class, fourth class citizens. Okay, since 1914, you got to remember Sam Lucas, the first black actor to have a lead role in a movie for his performance in, you guessed it, Uncle Tom's Cabin, 1914. Sam Lucas, Uncle Tom's Cabin. 1915 is another significant date in history, in cinematic history, because D.W. Griffith released a movie many of you have heard of called Birth of a Nation, which the aim of that was to support the Ku Klux Klan. Okay? And they say it's, I don't necessarily agree with this, but because I don't see some other ones, but they say it's possibly the most anti-black film ever made. Okay? Birth of a Nation. The NAACP, at that, they were working hard to ban the film, and other groups are working hard to ban that film and its portrayal of blacks as subhuman as compared to the glorified white man in that movie or the glorified Ku Klux Klan. And the Birth of a Nation was important because it led to the creation of a new industry, listen to me, that produced race films for blacks. These portrayed blacks in a positive light and addressed some social concerns for our community. Before, quote unquote, race films, blacks were doing nothing but shuffling and shiny faces. They were head scratching, acting like simpletons with their eyes bugged out, who leaned on brooms and spoke bad English. But after the introduction of these films and pressure from organizations, blacks began to be depicted with more dignity and respect. And in order for our people to ensure that they would have positive roles and stop the reinforcement of stereotypes through films, what did they have to do? They had to make their own movies. Okay, back to black nationalism, which is the control of what happens in your own community. Black nationalism. So even in black nationalism, when we're talking about controlling the politics of our neighborhoods and controlling the politics of our communities and even the economics of our community, we cannot leave out black arts. We cannot leave out black culture. We cannot leave out black cinematography. You cannot leave that out because it is so influential to this generation and generations before us, that if you leave in your revolutionary effort and zeal out the black artist and the black actor and the black poet and the black creator, the black disc jockey, the black musician, and so on and so forth, then you miss a critical aspect, an important part, controlling or creating and directing the black positive image. Okay? Now, here's a little tidbit for you. The first, quote-unquote, Hollywood film, I say Hollyweird film, but the first Hollywood film to feature an all-black cast was Hearts in Dixie. That was produced in 1929 and directed by Paul Sloan for Fox. This film introduced to wider audiences one of the film's most polemic figures ever. You know the name of that figure? I know you've heard of him. His name was Stephen Fetchit. 1929, Hearts in Dixie. Paul Sloan for Fox introduced Stephen Fetchit. In the film, the audience is introduced to the faithful black plantation workers, toiling hard in the fields all day and relaxing at night by singing and dancing. Stephen Fetchit typifies the lazy but good-natured slave, unwilling to work but forgiven for his errant ways. Then the white boss playfully kicks Stephen Fetchit in the rear end. Fetchit grins broadly and winks slyly at the audience. And this is to be the example of the typical screen darkie. Fetchit, a black clown, a good nigger, lazy and shiftless, yet all right at heart. Most importantly, he knows his place. Fetchit's depiction of blacks is, of course, degrading and demeaning. And blacks across the country presume to fit Fetchit's stereotype of being lazy, stupid, and foolish, and yet well-intentioned. And for those who have never encountered black people before, but have seen Stephen Fetchit, they were left with a warped or skewed view of black people based upon Stephen Fetchit. So you can see now how even with all the jigaboo-isms that are on the television screen today, this did not just start. Didn't just happen with all this coonery and buffoonery, this craziness that you see on your television screen on the idiot box. Didn't just happen. It was a slow progression that was projected to the world through Hollywood or Hollyweird, Fox, Universal Studios, Paramount, CBS, NBC, all them letters, all of them were in on that, and all of them benefited from that, beginning with that character, Stephen Fetchit. Y'all hear me good? So now we find ourselves here in 2013, and now you got to look at children that's in your own family, children that's in my family, children that will come behind us in the future. Children less likely to be able to distinguish a stereotype from any sort of reality. And when they watch an ideal family on TV in a perfect home, quote unquote, with no money problems, they may wonder why they don't have the same thing. Hear that? They're going to wonder how come they don't have what they see on television or what they hear on the radio, if they see things on TV that they don't have in comparison to real life. That TV image will become the reality to them. When images and ideas presented at a young age take form and take grip, they are reintroduced or reinforced over years and years and years of viewing. And these images become reality. They may feel inadequate in comparison to the lives that some seem to lead, these children may, and superior and hateful to those portrayed in a negative way, even though that portrayal is not even true at all. So again, you're hearing the television's role and really radio's role, the programming role in reinforcing stereotypes, white supremacy, negative black images. And now when you look at your children and you hear them say, "Daddy, I want this. Mommy, I want this. I want to be able to do this," it is because the media has specifically targeted. Your children, my children, your grandbabies, your nieces, your nephews, or a friend's child, anybody, any children that you know, there's specific targeting for our babies, black children, in specific, okay? Now, you remember the images of the Cosby Show. You remember the images that they were presented at that time, even on a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Then you see the images of a Good Times or Sanford and Son or even a show like Cops, okay? For every positive show that is on mainstream television, you have two shows or three shows that will cancel out the positive effect that that show may have, okay? For every positive show, you have two to three shows, maybe four shows, that will show the buffoonery or the step and fetch it stereotype to cancel out the positive effects of the television show, okay? And so you're being bombarded images, shows like Sanford and Son, Good Times, which all of us coming up, most of us have seen, most of us have experienced, even laughed at the comedic genius of a Red Fox and others, okay? Even that being said, they show a lot of different stereotypes. Fred Sanford, for example, always having a crazy scheme and being presented as a lazy person from JJ and Good Times, as a cartoony streetwise jive talker. Streetwise jive talker. Okay? And so these are things that, again, have produced a progression. Again, back to the entertainers. You go right back to the early years of television, to the blaxploitation films of the 70s. Okay? The blaxploitation films of the 70s. These are films that targeted the young urban black and encouraged them during certain points to stand up against their white oppressors during the civil rights movement by, in that time, in that screen, depicting acts of racism against them and showing the young and showing the organized resist. If you can remember many of those films, I do. And as more and more black filmmakers emerge, the tide shifted to films that focus less on enraging the blacks or black people against their oppressors to those that simply just glorified violence. And this change occurred simultaneously with the increased audience for these films. So what I'm saying to you here is that the appetite for seeing black-on-black killing in a film or black-on-black killing on a television screen or listening to a cassette tape at the time or even an 8-track at that time or a CD or a MP3 audio of a brother killing a brother or a sister killing a sister, the appetite increased for it as you play it over and over and over again. And these companies know that. And so they stopped making the kind of movies that would show you and me and us and black people resisting our oppressors. They stopped making movies like The Spook Who Sat behind the door. Okay? And they went right back to that glorified violence, that black-on-black, quote-unquote, violence. The movies have become more appealing to the broader audiences because they depict the stereotypes that most non-blacks believe. Most non-blacks in America believe that black people are naturally violent. These are stereotypes of blacks in movies that affirm, okay, or include those black people that are easily lazy or violent. So it affirms. So when they come across somebody in our community who's violent or who's lazy, and it's in every culture and every nationality, they say, see, I told you, there they are, okay? Filmmakers think that their actions are helping the black community, some of them, by exposing their faults and, quote-unquote, showing them a better way, because now they have what you call a large crossover audience. But they only contribute to the dominant negative stereotypes. And black filmmakers and entertainers, you're going to have to be mindful that the messages of your movies are not lost in these stereotypes. Look at Boys in the Hood. Look at John Singleton and his Boys in the Hood. Look at Eddie Murphy's Life. These are examples of movies that depict positive images as opposed to a minister society, okay? And what the Hughes brother put out. Not knocking anybody, just calling it like it is, okay? Or any of that, all right? So we're talking about, again, taking charge of positive black male and black female images, okay? You got to talk about these Haitian films of the 70s and the medium of the message that they had for the civil rights movement or the black power movement of the 70s when you had a sister like Pam Grier with her afro and she was knocking white folks down and pulling the peace out on them, and to later on being portrayed as something else, or on up into, you know, the images of an old dog, you know, in Menace, where all the brothers at a particular time, you know, wanted to be old dog. And you watch Kane, and he lives in a world of violence and can't understand, you know, why he want to get out or why he needs to get out. His closest friend, old dog, who's this ruthless so-called, you know, street thug, you know, and when they first pop up in the movie, first thing they do is kill two Asian shop owners, you know. Situation gets worse. Old dog, proud of the murder, he steals the surveillance video and plays it for all his friends. And this is the image that unfortunately is portrayed to the world, that we are ruthless killers, unfeeling, uncaring killers to the world. The, as it said, the menace to society. And so movies are guilty. Television is guilty. News is guilty. All of them are guilty. They're guilty of what we would call racist beliefs and acts. The new Black Panther Party says that mainstream television, mainstream movies, mainstream news is guilty of racist beliefs and acts. And despite all the progress that's been made in 3 decades of reforms and 3 decades of push, they should result in significantly more substantial positive images and roles than what we have witnessed. I remember that show, Homeboys from Outer Space. I don't know if y'all remember that, Homeboys from Outer Space. And these networks are eating this type of stuff up. Demonstrators, they ignore that at times. People have demonstrated outside Fox News. They've demonstrated outside of Universal Studios. They've demonstrated all over the place. And these networks refuse to give credence or any type of whatever lenience to what the protesters from the black community and demonstrators are saying. But when you show negative white images, they cast that to the side like that's just a certain small segment of the white image. Okay, let's look at, for example, take Honey Boo Boo, for example. I know y'all have heard of Honey Boo Boo. Okay, Honey Boo Boo is looked at in white society as just a small segment of the society, what you would call the quote-unquote trailer park trash. Get someone like from the cast of Jersey Shore. You look at Mob Wives, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These are always considered the side particles or the side pieces of the white community. They are not to be depicted as the main portions of white America. But when it comes to the black community, our quote-unquote small portion, our criminal element, our undereducated or even lazy, that's projected as the front stream ideal of the black man and the black woman. We have to blame Paramount Pictures. We have to blame the NBCs. We have to blame the ABCs. We have to blame the Universal Studios. We have to blame all of those who are participating in these racist and negative acts and attacks on black people and black images. But we have to take personal self-responsibility. I'm going to say it one more time. Personal self-responsibility. Okay? Something like Homeboys from Outer Space airs, some old Step and Fetch It TV show airs, that you will be strong enough to counter the balance of negativity shown on the television, counter the balance of negativity heard through the radio programming. Okay? The bottom line in any industry is money. How come Public Enemy isn't selling like it used to? How come Paris isn't selling like he used to? Huh? How come X-Clan isn't selling like they used to? Why isn't Rakim, who's called the God MC, why isn't he selling like he used to? Because they shifted the money. The money, as long as it was coming in on the quote-unquote conscious rap, okay, and when these brothers broke out with their conscious rap talking the struggles of black people, and these white folks and people in suits saw that they could make money off of it, they put that out there. It's all good. Hey, yeah, we're racist. Hey, yeah, we're no good. Hey, yeah, we're evil. This, that, and the third. Blacks must organize. They were all with it. Why? Because it was making them money. But once the tide shifted and they began to push that underground current, which was the quote-unquote gangster rap at that time, and then they pulled the gangster rap up to the mainstream and put the conscious rap to the underground, that's where the money went to. The money began to go to characterizing the black man and black woman as a criminal, as a deviant, as a menace, as a thug. That's where the money went to. So that's why now when young boys or young girls who have talent, no matter if they're socially conscious or socially aware or not, they will put gangsterism in their music. They'll call the women B's and H's, and they'll do things that they know they wouldn't do in front of their mama because they're trying to make a buck. So now we're at the stage where we have to do for ourselves, firm believers of black nationalism and firm believers of black power. And we don't believe in just talking about something and just letting a problem exist and never acting on anything. And so we're going to introduce you tonight, here in a few moments, to National Black Television. National Black Television. Black power. That's black power. Where we will control, and blacks will control, the images that we put before our people. And we will be a direct confrontation to Paramount Pictures and a direct confrontation to NBC, a direct confrontation to ABC, a direct confrontation to Universal Studios, and a confrontation to Beration that promotes those kinds of images to our people and throughout the world, and only cares about being paid a dollar and living a top life at our expense. It's beautiful. Now, let me tell you this, as I prepare to bring on our national chairman, and he's bringing on the guests, and we're going to get your calls, and I know this is a heavy topic that you want to weigh in on and that you should weigh in on and participate with. This means our future. I want to tell you that even the new Black Panther Party has worked to find its voice, and we have worked to craft our image and show our best image. And we have not always done that. I'm being honest with you as your brother. In the past, the new Black Panther Party has not always put its best foot forward in showing its image. But them days is over. As long as I'm on post, as long as Mr. Hashim Nzinga is on post, as our national chairman, as long as our National Central Committee is in place the way that it is, them days is over. The days of the new Black Panther Party making a fool and being a tool against itself, them days are over. Let me just tell you that. We will put our best voice forward. We will put our best foot forward. And we will promote the best images forward to inspire our people. We do not want to be alienated, or we refuse to be alienated from our people. We are one and the same. And we did not come up out of no spaceship. We didn't get coughed up out of no volcano. We didn't come from some secret planet above the planet. We come from right here in the same external and even internal conditions that you face with your brothers and your sisters. And so that is our pledge to you, the hills of North America, in Africa, in Europe, wherever you are, if you're in Germany, wherever you are, black people the world over, our pledge to you is that we will produce the most positive images of Black Panthers, new Black Panthers, all the world over. You will see us feeding our people. You'll see us clothing our people. You'll see us protecting our people. You'll see us standing up for Kendrick Johnson. You'll see us standing up for Brother Paul Robeson. You'll see us standing up for our people the world over and doing what we're supposed to be doing. When you read the 10-point program of the new Black Panther Party, that's what you'll be seeing us doing. You ain't going to hear us talking a whole lot of rhetoric. We got them rhetoric days off. A lot of us got them rhetoric days off and what we're going to do and how we feel, and we just kind of vent. But hell no, when you read them 10-point programs and you read about us wanting freedom and you read about us forcing our people to do for self and to have full employment for our people and working against police brutality, working against the murder of black people, working against false incarceration, working against a racist death penalty as it is applied to our people. That's what you're going to be seeing us doing. When you read our 9 local, that's what you're going to be seeing us doing. We black, y'all. We coming black and we're strong. Okay, we got a new voice, got a new image. And me and Minister Hashim and Nzinga, our national chairman, we on the same team. All of us in the National Central Committee, we on the same team. Me and Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz on the same team with Black Lawyers for Justice. We're going to put a positive image forward of our people. And we're working a new way to get this agenda over to our people. And what we are asking in the new Black Panther Party, we're asking that you send your corrective help to the party. What that means is, first of all, we need members. We can't work all these programs by ourselves. So that means that if you believe, or those who believe in the program, when you can spare of your time, your effort, and your talent, join the program. Push the program. Dedicate your life to the upliftment of your people and go to war to see us free and liberated from this enslavement, now mental, spiritual, emotional, which came from physical. Okay? So do that. And then to the new Black Panther Party, send in your corrective help. Well, really, anybody in the black nation or in the original nation, send in your information to New Black Panther Headquarters at gmail.com. New Black Panther Headquarters at gmail.com. Send in your information to make this organization a better organization and a better movement. We don't want to be the kind of party or the kind of group that only focuses internally. We are the People's Party. If you're black in America, we represent you in one way, shape, form, or fashion or another. That means you have to have a voice in this movement. This is the voice of the voiceless. And so in order to do that right, we got to make sure that we're hitting all the areas that we need to hit and covering all the bases. We've been at this a long time, but that doesn't mean that we've done everything right. Doesn't mean we've got everything accomplished. We're trying to make the best out of this situation, and we can do it together. Collective unity, collective economics, collective work and responsibility. Email your corrections, email your help, email your ideas, email your membership applications to New Black Panther Headquarters at gmail.com, and we're going to process that and put that all together in one pile, in one chart, and we're going to really apply it. Our national chairman, Hashim Nzinga, is interested in applying the will of the people because we're here to serve the people. And we're here to gain the trust and confidence of our people. And so I believe that our brother is here, and I will, at this stage, turn it right over to him. Brothers and sisters, help me to welcome to Black Power Radio Land our national chairman of the New Black Panther Party, who will begin to introduce his guest and our guest. This is Minister Hashim Nzinga, Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Sean, I tell you this, you got the radio air on fire. I listened to the whole first hour, and I really, really enjoyed it. I'm so glad to be part of
it. Still there, Brother Chip? Okay, he'll call right back. And let me say this, the number to call is 646-478-4447. Those of you that are listening, either through your phones or through your speakers on your computers, you're listening to the station live, call 646-478-4447. Our national chairman is about to introduce our guest, who is the CEO of National Black Television. He going to drop a few words on us. And you know how these phones go. This phone situation is something else. That's something else that I would love to get black people interested in, is developing our own phone systems. We got to think like this. Let me, here's our chairman now. I think he's back with us. Brother Chairman, are you
a
back
phone.
With us?
I got you.
Brother John, we back up?
Yes, sir. Here with you.
You know, they hate for us to get on these lines and talk like I was about to talk. I was about to say that, talk about Malcolm X and Marcus Garvey and so many. Yes, Percy Sutton owned radio station. Yes, Jane Brown owned radio station. Yes, we owned a lot of radio stations. But, man, we could never get radio stations where we could be international, where we could be heard in California and South Africa and Zimbabwe and Ghana and the Bahamas and Bermuda and everywhere in the world. It's just such a blessing to hear you talk about the history of black TV, from Sambo to Step and Fetches to the Cosby Show. And the I was talking to a brother the other day about attorney Malik Nur-Shabazz had set up Dr. Khaled Muhammad to be on the Rado Show. And some of the guests on the Rado Show at that time was Dr. Khaled Muhammad, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. It was Tavis Smiley. It was the prosecutor in the O.J.'s case, the brother who prosecuted O.J. And it was a couple others. But anyway, the point is Dr. Alvin Poussaint was a great psychologist, and he was on the program, and his job was to monitor everything that the Cosby Show did and made sure the images went out right, portray the black family right. The one thing Dr. Alvin Poussaint did that didn't portray the black family right is when we were called to the Rado show. Before you go on a TV show live, you have rooms and dressing rooms and makeup artists before they bring you all out on the stage. We were in the back room, Brother Sean, with Dr. Adam Passon and many, many others that was on the show, and we was all drinking orange juice and talking, and he was talking to Dr. Collard like me and you were talking. And he was talking to me, and I had brought him to Dallas to speak. I knew him personally, and he was asking us, how has everything been going? We were, you know, on the front line, it's going well. And then when the show started, Gerardo introduced all the guests one at a time. And we introduced Dr. Alvin Passon. Alvin Passon got up and took off his microphone, took off his the deal off the side, and said, I would not be seen on national TV with an anti-Semitic like Khalid Muhammad. That was my introduction to knowing what in the hell TV is really about. This man is back there drinking wine and drinking orange juice and eating grapes and eating cantaloupe with us and laughing and giggling and talking to Dr. But them damn Jews are powerful, man. He had staged that when he get introduced, he would walk off that stage. And that taught me, man, TV is very powerful. That man didn't want to do that, but that's how much power them Jews had over him. And so I say this. This topic tonight is very serious. If we're going to take the black nation back, if we're going to take our babies back, we got to get a pencil, man, and start erasing this Atlanta housewife stuff. We got to start erasing some of the stuff that we're doing that's a tragedy to the image for our children. And tonight I think we got a solution to the problem, because all over the world we're going to be bringing Dr. Michael V. Roberts on next week, who owns TV stations and radio stations. We're connecting with the black owners of TV stations and radio stations, and we're going to stop begging Fox and NBC and ABC and all of these other stations to do for us what we can do for ourselves. I was so happy to meet with Brother Reuben Cannon, who is one of our historians and one of our great filmmakers, who was Tyler Perry's 70-30 partner, and he helped shape Tyler to get in the position Tyler in, and he led Tyler to get with Oprah Network and let Tyler do some of the programming for O. Because as we know, Oprah catered to that middle-class white woman that was home, and she made a lot of money off those white folks straight up. But when she got ready to do her network wide open, she got to come back to us. And so Tyler Perry had stuff that we watched. But tonight, I got a young fiery brother on. And, Sean, I want you to stay on, and I want you to do what you always do as a host, because one thing about me and the new Black Panther Party, this is going to be us and we, but we're going to get this information out to our people. We are going to have one of the best websites ever built in history. We're going to have our own TV station. We're going to have our own radio like we got now. We're going to get our newspaper back going and newsletters. We're going to go block to block and take back over the images and what we read and what we see and give our youth, like we did in the Million Youth March, opportunity to show the best of our people so they can stop showing the worst of our people. But tonight, with no further ado, I want to bring on a young brother who's been in business for over 10 years and who has a black network called National Black TV. And anybody listening can go to www.nbtv.com. That's www.nbtv1.com. Me and Attorney Shabazz had the pleasure to meet with this brother one-on-one at our office in Atlanta earlier this week. And, of course, he was in Tuskegee with the minister and Attorney Shabazz. And we have joined with him to start spreading the news about his station. And I want to bring Brother Stanley, you on?
I'm on.
This is the CEO of NBTV, and brother, I just want you to take your time and welcome to Black Talk Radio. We got a vast listening audience. I want to take your time and give us the knowledge and the science and that we need to get ready for what you're about to do and turn this universe upside down in Black TV. And please tell us your full name so we'll know who we're dealing with.
Dear Brother Hashim and Zynga, I want to first start out by thanking you for giving me this opportunity to be on Black Power Radio tonight. And I'm very honored and privileged, of course, to have this opportunity. But to piggyback on what you were speaking about to the listening audience, National Black Television is a network devised to impact the social and economic change within the African-American community and working together with our people all over the globe as it relates to indigenous people. And this network, of course, when we originally established the network, it was basically to help strengthen the image of black people because of, as you were stating earlier, some of the things that are taking place in terms of the reality shows in our community that's having a major impact on the psychological mindset of black people and depicting us as a people that are, living buffoonery lives. So our network obviously is geared to help bring about a different image. And I think what you were speaking about earlier in terms of Bill Cosby as relates to the Cosby Show, and we all grew up on that show back in the 80s, and it was always a blessing, of course, to watch the Cosby Show because the images that Bill Cosby had his scriptwriters presenting African Americans at that time was something that we can all be proud of as a people. And that's what our network is geared to do. Since we've been, of course, broadcasting, we have focused on a positive image as it relates to black people. And we've been covering HBCUs all over the country as it relates to some of the biggest activities that goes on HBCU campuses to enlighten our community and show the rest of the world that we are a dignified, intelligent group of people and that we are people that brings about technological changes as well as economic changes. And that's some of the things that we strengthen and pride ourselves on here at NBTV. And for those who are listening, feel free to go to NBTV1.com. You will definitely learn a lot more about our network. We work with all of the major civil rights organizations in the country, SCLC, Rainbow Push, New Black Panther Party, NAACP, Nation of Islam, all striving to bring about social and economic change for our people. And I think it's important that we recognize the broadcasting arm as it relates to the imagery that our people are being misrepresented in the world today. And we definitely need the support of the New Black Panther Party to spread the word about National Black Television as we move forward. And you can begin to look at the programming, of course, of the network. The network acts like a Netflix and a BET all in one. And I know a lot of people are saying, "Wow, what do you mean?" Well, when you join a network, as of course their minister Hashim and Zynga has done, you can of course watch movies freely like an on-demand channel. All of the black movies, you can watch them anytime you want. And then of course we have a television station inside the website that has programming just like BET. At 9 o'clock, you have a movie. At 10 o'clock, you have a talk show. At 3 o'clock, we might have a live broadcast and so forth. And as the network continues to progress, obviously, we're going to have more and more broadcasting taking place as it relates to sitcoms, as it relates to documentaries, live broadcasts in terms of sporting events going on in our community that we definitely need to highlight some of our better high school talent that's in the country. We want to make sure that they get the national exposure that they need to get and don't get skipped over to get the opportunity to major Division I university who has major budgets to see to it that these young men and women go on to be tremendous success stories for their communities. And also we want to highlight and broadcast some of the major impacts that are taking place on the continent of Africa that our community in America and many even Africans don't get a chance to witness because they're working so hard to send back monies to their families, such as what's going on in Ghana, the presidency elections. We want to broadcast those different elections on National Black Television to keep our people aware of what's taking place on the continent of Africa and get a report from our people and not CNN or C-SPAN or any of the other major white networks who may give across a jaded view on the scenario, as we all know what they have been doing for over the last 20 to 30 years with our brother in Zimbabwe in reference to Mugabe and many other great African leaders that has ascended to a power on the continent of Africa because the Western powers in Europe, of course, and their media machine have been able to finagle their message within those different countries in Africa because of the money that they have. They've been able to, of course, begin to get their philosophies and their ideas across to the people that did not mean our people well. And media is very essential to transforming the people. And if we don't get behind National Black Television, I really believe we're doing ourselves a disservice as a people, because as a CEO, I will always stand for the rights and the mission of black people and a nationalistic agenda that represents our people in a way where we will maintain strength, power, dignity, honor, and respect as long as I live.
Brother, let me ask you this, because you're a young brother, and you have a very, 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 very serious background in understanding the makeup of the African nation. And for the brothers and sisters who may not, Brother Sean, are we still on?
Yes, sir. We're here, Brother Sean.
Okay. Boy, you never know about my phone and these people that control it. Brother Stan, you still with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Tell us some about your background, because our listeners is vast. Of course, we're Pan-African and nationalist revolutionaries, business people and women, and we're people that are very, very close in family. And when you're very, very close in family, regardless to how much you read, how much you write, how much you work out, how much you eat right, how much you study, we're going to find ourselves dealing with these devices and looking at some TV. Tell us, why did you decide, first I want you to get into what you know about nation building and your background and your philosophies and your thinking on the black nation. And second, what led you to use media and TV as your weapon of choice to fight this white oppression and white supremacy?
Well, as we know it, and if we don't know it, we need to. That is the calling point, and it has always been the calling point for the white man to get his message out. Even a long time ago, even before the radio, it was the Pony Express. And this was the way to get the message out. And as men advanced, and women advanced technologically, we learned new ways to administer information to the masses. Obviously, radio was second and was a major influence in terms of getting information out to the masses, and then, of course, television. And now we have today. And satellite and cable TV, of course, and one of my idols, Bob Johnson, with BET, Black Entertainment Television, in the sense that for this one reason, he was an inspiration in terms of capitalizing on the latest technological advancement at that time, which was cable and satellite TV, to tell the story of black people as he saw it. And as we know, of course, over time, the whiteys got into the organization and ultimately infiltrated it and took it over, and now they control the content and the program because they have more shares in the company than anyone else. But one of the things that we have here at National Black TV is a referral strategy to put our people in full control economically of the network, because, as you know it, the only person that received the millions and the billions with Black Entertainment Television, which is BET, was Bob Johnson and a few people at the head with him. No one else. And I know a bunch of people who work for BET no longer works because they, once he left back in 2002, of course, they got laid off. And some very, very great people in television that are now just struggling. They may not have been the best business people, but from a technological perspective, they are tremendous. But, of course, you know, I have two folds on myself. I'm technologically savvy, and I'm also a pretty good businessman. And so what the strategy that National Black Television has is a referral program to put everyone, even the last, everybody who comes on our network has a chance to make money. Not only the network, but everyone, every organization, NAACP, SCLC, Rainbow Push, New Black Panther Party, every major, so many different schools, it doesn't matter. Everyone gets a promo code. It's totally different, a totally different nuanced technological piece, component that no other broadcasting network has ever invented. Whether it be radio and they give out money to people and all of this stuff to get folks to listen to their station, and that's a good thing, of course. Some of the information can be positive sometimes, but they still try to help people in, at the end with our mainstream radio stations. We all know what they do to get people to listen. But we have a strategy to put organizations in position to attain revenue, which has never, ever been done before. And it will definitely benefit not just organizations, but ultimately it will benefit the black community because now we can fund our broadcasting efforts. And also you got to look at the fact that, you know, today broadcasting is done via Internet, which puts everyone who broadcasts on the Internet, whether it's radio or video, in position to tell their story or their message worldwide. And so now we are at a critical point in history. 10 years ago, you know, no one was broadcasting to people in London like we're doing today. We got over 80 people that subscribe to NBTV in London. 10 years ago, that wasn't the case. So now we have a new nuance, similar to what BET did, jumped on the bandwagon when cable and satellite was the newest and latest greatest thing back in 1980. Well, I would suggest to say right around 2009, 2010, online broadcasting became the latest and greatest technological advancement as it relates to broadcasting, either radio or Internet or video, because they serve the same purpose for radio and video. I mean, every radio station in the world is online. I can listen to stations in New Orleans, New York, Africa. I just punch it in on Google. And bam, it comes up. The browser comes up. So that's mainstream radio stations. So that's how television is going. And I know a lot of people are like, what do you mean? Well, this is what I'm talking about. Stations in Jamaica, Japan, New England, New Zealand, they all will be online. And so now the world is going to have thousands and thousands and thousands of broadcasting stations online, and we'll be able to tap into things that's going on all the world in the world. The world is now 10 times smaller because of the speed and capability of the Internet to deliver radio and video information. And we have definitely tapped into that arena, and we've been broadcasting for the last 10 years. I've been a web developer for the last 10 years, and I'm going to go to something that our dear brother mentioned in terms of nationalism and where do I get the nationalistic agenda from as it relates to my spiritual background. And I definitely want to share that with the brothers and sisters on the line tonight. It comes from, obviously, I was raised in the church. And just as everyone, I'm assuming we all got that preaching in us early, and that stayed with me. But the revolutionary message came 15 years ago when I heard a dear brother, Ben-Ami Ben-Israel, and he was speaking about the evils and the wiles of the wicked white man, and he had a great book at the time, God, the Black Man, and the Truth, and I read it, and it was a powerful book, almost put me in the mind of the message from the black man by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But that book gave me some sense of consciousness. And then the ultimate spiritual leader who really took me over the top as it relates to the historical data concerning indigenous people and who we are and what we are all over the world was none other than Dr. Khalid Muhammad, because he was the one back in 1999 who opened my eyes up to recognize that we were here long before the Bible, and no other teacher, spiritual teacher, or leader had ever enlightened me to that degree. And he also shared with me books by Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark, and man, that started me on a journey beyond journeys. And the zeal that Dr. Khalid Muhammad spoke was unbelievable. And I have always had the greatest admiration and ambition for the legendary and the honorable, the soul of our Lord, Dr. Khalid Muhammad. And when I got the opportunity to speak to my dear brother, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, at the 18th anniversary of the Million Man's March, I told him, man, I've been trying to get with you brothers for the last 10 years. I mean, he's like timing. But, you know, over the last 2 to 3 years, we've been working with the major civil rights organizations, which we're going to continue to do because they are helping to strengthen our people, not only here in America, but throughout the globe, just as the new Black Panther Party is doing. And I'm glad to have the opportunity to work with my dear brothers, Minister Hafeem Nzinga, along with our dear brother, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and all of the brothers and sisters within the great Black Panther organization. We are happy and privileged to lock arms with you, brothers and sisters, because we know of the great work that you have done over the years under the great leadership of Dr. Khalid Muhammad and his successor, of course, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and his successor, none other than Minister Hafeem Nzinga. This has been a phenomenal experience. And I told the brothers, man, the white man is in trouble, because I know some things technologically that could put us all in position to do what we need to do as a people, to tell our story in a way that it has never been told before. And it is time for the rest of the world to get on board and respect and honor the black man and the black woman, for we are the first to walk this planet and to give humanity civilization. And that is the story that I want to tell. And I also want to make sure that our younger generations begin to understand us as a people from a historical perspective and come in line by some of the great leaders that we have today who are seasoned leaders, such as Minister Hafeem Nzinga, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, who are now taking the helm because some of our elders are getting ill, as we've seen at the 18th anniversary of the Million Man March. The great Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you know, unfortunately was not able to speak. And our dear brother Ishmael stepped up to the plate and hit a home run. It was a powerful message that new leaders who are seasoned and ready to take the helm are now doing it. And it's a blessing now to see our dear brother Minister Hafeem Nzinga, who was right beside Dr. Khalid Muhammad for many years. And I've studied you more than you would ever know, Minister Hafeem Nzinga. Even when you was in Dallas, I know a lot about you. You just don't know. And your historical understanding as it relates to our people and the information that you helped to shed light with Dr. Khalid, and he shed light with you in the building of the new Black Panther Party. So it's a blessing. It's a privilege. It's an honor. And I look forward to doing documentaries and sitcoms that are sensible as it relates to our people and honorable and dignified as it relates to our people, to tell the story in a way that the white man will never tell, because he don't want our people to know that we are great and we're glorious and we're honorable and we the mothers and fathers of civilization, the cradle of all life. This man is here to harm us and to demonize our people and to affect us in a way where our children will have a negative ideal about us, even his religion. As we all know, those of us who are sharp on that know that his religion is not African-centered. And these are the things that I love so dearly about the Nation of Islam, that they have that component, the African perspective as it relates to serving the Almighty God. And so I am thankful for my dear brother to give me this opportunity tonight, and I hope to continue to build with you, brothers and sisters, as the days go forward. I hope that you embrace MBTV, which is MBTV1.com. And if anybody want to know what MBTV is, you tell them it's National Black Television. It's a network for black people all day, every day. And we are here to tell our story in ways that it has never been told before. In movie format, sitcom format, documentaries, and we're going to edit it in ways that the white man would never dream of editing, because he ain't you. And he don't want to be you. He don't want you to know who you are. But that's okay, though. That's okay, because we have brothers and sisters who are going to tell our story the right way. So I pass the mantle back to my dear brother, Minister Hafeem Nzinga, and I love you, my dear brother, for giving me the opportunity tonight to shed light on the brothers and sisters of the new Black Panther Party. And I am definitely vigorous, invigorated to continue to work with you brothers. And I hope they shared the message about National Black Television and even give me different ideas as it relates to things that would be hot and on the cutting edge as it relates to creative applications for our people.
Well, let me say this, brother. First of all, we're very humble and pleased, and thank you so much for recognizing our work that goes unnoticed so much, you know, and we don't do it to get noticed. We do it because we're slaves of the people. But I want you, if you can, to stay on, because our host, Brother Sean, and our national chief of staff of the New Black Panther Party, he has a queue and he has guests that might want to ask you some questions, and he might not for you. But I just want to say this very, very quickly. I've dealt with this TV world on many, many, many different levels, and we're going to be dealing with it on greater levels because we're greater now than we were yesterday. And one of the things that I'm disappointed, and you said so much. In such a short time, is when we look at the great ones that have come before us, it's amazing, you know, when I read the book, how the Jews created Hollywood by Henry Ford. And it's amazing how in this great arena of Hollywood, that it's a tragedy to us when we go back and we look at the great ones that, regardless to what we thought about the programming, what the message they brought, we're talking about the economic side, because you said something that really attracted me to your platform was you're going to give back. And our organization definitely could support you, help you grow, and in return we bring you nationally on the air to talk about your platform, because we're not thieves and we don't do anything backhanded with our organization. An organization will understand clearly, the New Black Panther Party, how we can benefit from working with National Black TV, even if you didn't give back. Hell, we work with NBC, ABC, and all the rest of these crackers all our lives. But anyway, to get to the point, when we go down the list of the great ones, if we're talking about Sammy Davis Jr., Died Broke, IRS, if you talk about Fred from Sanford and Son, Broke, IRS. If you talk about Richard Pryor, Broke, IRS. If you talk about, I mean, no matter which direction you go, if it's athletes, if it's entertainment, or if it's Hollywood, in most cases you'll find our people after their great, long, extensive careers. I was with one of our first Academy Award winners, the first black African-American Academy Award winner, was on our show maybe 6 months ago, a good friend of ours and Black Power Radio, Brother Lou Gossip Jr., who I'm with all the time. said once he won that Academy Award, they stopped giving him work. And we was with Monique a week before that, and she said once she won her Academy Award, they stopped giving her work. And, of course, we know that somehow, some way, eventually, we're going to have to take over, and we're going to have a Black Hollywood. And it all starts with money, and we spend more money than damn anybody. We spent $1 trillion last year, and, brother, we're going to put the money in the right place. We can't make the same mistakes over and over again. And like we knew when the Cosby Show came on, white people went crazy. They say we were trying to use sensationalism. You know there's not a black lawyer and a black doctor that live in the same house that got black kids. You're out of your damn mind. You're out of your damn mind. But anyway, I'm tired of talking about white folk, brother, because we're talking about black national TV now. And we don't need white folk for this. We need black people. Black people buy the Colgate. Black people buy the Crest. Black people buy the Mercedes. Black people buy the wine. Black people buy the Burger King's. Advertisers carry TV, and we are the power when it comes to advertisers. Most of them cater to black people because we spend our money faster than any other nation of people. So we shouldn't have no problem building black TV. So, brother, Sean, I wanted you to come back, and if you have any questions for our big brother, and then let some of our listeners ask questions. Brother, you have time to stay with us to the end of the program?
Yes, I do.
Black Power. Brother
Black
Sean.
Yes, sir, my brother. Thanks again for coming on. It's an honor to have you. I do have a couple of questions for you. Can you talk to what some of the obstacles were that you faced in building a network and how you were able to overcome to be the brand that you are today?
Well, I mean, the biggest obstacle was finances. And, you know, I pride myself on doing business, you know, in the community and real estate and different other financial initiatives and raise the capital that I needed to get the equipment that I needed in order to start the network. And that was the biggest challenge. Obviously, you know, we couldn't get it from no banks because of what we were trying to do. Ain't no cracker or even black banks was willing to, you know, give us the resources that we needed to get the station started. But now we're up and running, and we've been broadcasting all of these schools all over the country, and we've been doing, I mean, all of the major black classics and the SCLC Rainbow Push, different conferences throughout the years. People are beginning to take note and backing us in different things. And we're getting resources, and we got subscribers on the network. Of course, our network is $7.99 a month, just like Netflix is $7.99 a month. But they have white content. We have black content. And we have a station, and they don't even have a station. And we have more black folks on Netflix than National Black TV, and that's something that I don't understand. But hopefully, over time, we could change that, and we'll be able to command, you know, 30 million subscribers as they command 30 million subscribers a month. And they got well over 8 million blacks that's subscribing. And we don't have that number yet, but we're working feverishly and hard with different serious black organizations to accomplish that goal. And when we do accomplish that goal, those organizations are going to make money with us. I mean, as I said, we have a referral program here, unlike Netflix, unlike Hulu, unlike YouTube, unlike BET, unlike CNN, Fox, none of them. They don't give a damn what happens to you. As long as you watch their network, you ain't going to get a quarter from them. But here at NBTV, whoever you bring to the table, you're definitely going to be rewarded for it by sharing our network with them. And from a technological standpoint, all you do is give us more resources that we need to empower ourselves to begin to spread our wings and take our network to Africa, which is the ultimate goal, where we'll have total clemency away from the cracker. And he won't have no power over what we do, how we do, when we do, from a technological standpoint or from a verbal standpoint. We'll have total control and poverty and ultimate sovereignty over the network, and that's the ultimate goal.
Yes, sir, my brother. What can our people do to help in terms of membership? How do we subscribe? What do we do to help expand the station?
Well, I thank my dear brother, Minister Hassim Nzinga. can begin to share with you guys his promo code, which we give every person who subscribes to the network a promo code, which will put you in a position to now begin to attain revenue from the network. And you get a dollar per person you bring back to the network every month. So you bring 5,000 people to the network who subscribes, or you're going to be getting $5,000 a month. Nobody pays that. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, no one. So you bring us an artist, a rapper, and he goes to Twitter. And, hey, everybody join in. NB, National Black Television at NBTV1.com. Be sure to use promo code 38. And shit, 40,000 people come. Well, he's getting 40,000 a month. And some of those rappers can do that. And I know the new Black Panther Party knows rappers. And y'all have a tremendous influence on many political figures and celebrities throughout the country who you can touch and give a word to get them on the network. And it's going to definitely be more powerful than they ever going to get from YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. They ain't paying them nothing. So if they start putting their videos on National Black Television, I mean, and don't share it with YouTube, well, you do the math. I mean, we could take over.
Brother Sean, let me say this. What we're about to do is we're about to make my promo code, really the new Black Panther Party promo code, and all the funds come from that promo code goes right into a new Black Panther Party account so we can have a budget. And what we're going to do with the Nick Cannons, the Bun Bees, I was talking to Brother Scarface yesterday. We're about to get with Public Enemy and Scarface and a bunch of them, and we're about to run a Black Power tour around the nation. And we were one of the greatest to ever run tours. He ran Michael Jackson tours. He ran Prince tours. He ran all the big tours. He ran the Budweiser Superfest. He's a very, very good friend of ours. Attorney Shabazz is one of his attorneys. And he's on TV One tonight, matter of fact, dealing with the Michael Jackson situation, the murder of Michael Jackson. He wrote a book about it. And he'll be on our show next week. But this brother runs some of the biggest tours ever in the history of America. And we're putting together a Black Power tour that's going to go all over the world. And got the funding for it already. And I'm sure that when we run this tour, like the brother said, with the promo package we put together and the different posters and flyers and the people that's going to be on that stage are all going to be on this show over the next couple of weeks. And we go from city to city to 60 cities. We're going to help build this black station, build this black nation, and change the language that's used on these stages. We got a big agenda 2014, Brother Stanley, and you're in the mix and definitely going to be one of our key components to spreading the word. And we're going to give you all kinds of opportunities to carry this concert tour we're putting together on your station live. And we're about in the last leg of it. We should wrap the contracts up by the end of this month. And come January, we're hitting the road on the 50-city tour. That's going to be one of the greatest Black Power tours since the 70s, brother.
Okay. I'm with it.
Brother Sean, you can continue now. I just wanted to get that in about that promo code. That's why we're doing it live on the air. We don't do nothing in closets.
That's good, man. That's good. That's good news. That exclusive. But dear brother, we have some calls too. We want to take while we got time. Can we take some calls too right now?
Yes, sir. Okay.
All right. Let's go to the first caller. Area code 504-432. This is Black Power Radio. We're talking about National Black Television. Your question or comment for our CEO, Black Power. Welcome.
Black Power, Black Power, Black Power, Brother Sean and Brother Black Power, Brother Hashim, and Black Power to the brother who's running NBT. My question to the brother who's running NBT, brother, are you going to come out with a all right, Black Power to you, brother. Are you going to come out with a news media? Because I know BET at one time, they had a news media with Jackie Reed, but they took it over. Are you going to pick that? I mean, pick it up and start up a news media? And my next question is, I want you to bring that show, The Black Panther, back on television. Could they pick it off of BET?
Well, I will say this. I mean, we definitely plan on doing shows such as what you spoke about that were on BET. A little bit different, of course, with people that we think is on the cutting edge today in terms of giving information to our people. But that's something that we're looking to do as it relates to our programming. But the name of the network is NBTV, National Black Television. So it's NBTV. But we definitely will be bringing shows that has that type of feel to the network. But we already got some shows on there that you guys may like, shows that is nowhere else, The Detour, a talk show that's the first online broadcast talk show in the world. It broadcasts out of Philly, but it's broadcasted on NBTV every week by Maria Driver, a rich, powerful talk show host. And we're doing things on national black television that's not been done nowhere else but NBTV. So, well, we definitely look to bring shows on our network such as this.
All right, brother. You doing a good job, brother. Black power.
Black power.
All right, thank you so much, Carlos, for your question. Thank you so much.
All right.
Hey, Carlos, you want to say something? Okay, next call, call 347-218. You're on live with the Black Power Radio. Talking on National Black Television. Follow up the question and comments. Black Power, welcome.
Hello, Black Power.
Black Power.
Yes, I'm calling to see is that MB National Black Television, is it on cable TV or is it on another station that I could tune into? Because I mean, BET is what it is, you know, and I'm looking to watch some historical black events, and if I can find out what channel it's on, I will tune in.
You got to go to NBTV1.com. We're the first online broadcasting network to solely broadcast online 24 hours, 7 days a week. So the television station is inside a website.
Okay.
That has never been done before. Well, you can only find it online. You can't have it. It's not on any cable networks.
Okay,
now, you know that some of the cable networks are now flipping, and they have online channels as well as cable channels. So the online broadcasting is getting popular. So it's not, you're not the last, but we definitely was the first.
Okay, that's true. Black Power. I want to find out also about that, the Black Power tour. I don't know if that brother's still online, but I want to know when it's coming to New York.
Yeah, I'm on the line. Are you there?
Yes, I am, sir.
This is the national chairman, Brother Hashim Nzinga.
Oh, Black Power,
and,
brother. How you doing? This
all
is
right,
Robert
Black
Supreme.
Power. And we're working with Brother Leonard Rowe, which is a very good friend of our families, working with Brother Bun B, and we're going to be working with Brother Jay Prince and Scarface, and we just reached out to Ice Cube and Public Enemy, and we got the and Brother Leonard Rowe is a pioneer, as I said, when you talk about the Budweiser Superfest, when you talk about Al Haymon, when you talk about the Black Circus, and when you talk about what we just got off of was the Scream Tour with Michael Mullen, which is Jermaine Dupri's father. All of these people come under Leonard Rowe. Leonard Rowe was one of the first giants in going all over the world with large concerts. And like I say, he was one of the only promoters that Michael Jackson would let take him around the country. When you looked at the Off the Wall tour and the hundreds of thousands out there, that was Leonard Rowe's production. So he's got with us, and we had our third meeting with him last week, and we're putting together a Black Power tour and a tour that probably will be kicking off January, no later than February. And we're bringing all the greats back and some new music.
Yeah, Okay.
Thank you. And what we'll be doing is we'll be using the Black Panther Party for security for those tours, and we'll be putting some money back in the black communities on these tours. And these tours will not just be tours to go get hundreds of thousands of people to fill up stadiums. We're coming in early, and we're doing all kind of programs in the city to heal black-on-black crime and a lot of other issues that we have in our community. These tours will be put together in a sophisticated way by revolutionaries, by doctors, by PhDs, by teachers, by educators, and by ground root people. And one of the biggest plights as we go around the country, we're going to make sure, because as everybody on Black Power Radio know, that we're well, well connected with the National Conference of Black Mayors, which when you go in our archives, the CEO of the National Conference of Black Mayors, which have over 666 black mayors with the new Black Panther Party, with Black Power, we're connecting with all these black mayors in the cities, and one of the things we're going to deal with the black mayors is the homelessness and the way they're treating our black sisters and brothers that are homeless. Mm. We're going to start setting up in these cities respect for our homeless people who have fell short of their goals, and the mayors also control the police chief, and we're going to be setting up one-on-one with police chiefs in every city to stop this frisking and stop treating our people like damn clowns and buffoons when our people are the taxpayers that put the symbols on those police doors to serve and protect, and they have stopped serving and protecting us. And they have started putting them damn tasers and bullets and them billy clubs on us, and we're going to stop that, and we're going to do it through every and by, like Malcolm say, any means necessary. And one of the biggest ways is through controlling black TV and radio and suing the hell out of them and breaking them to their knees and fighting black. So we're using our entertainers. We're using TV. We're using our warriors. We are about to go buck wild in 2014. And they going to regret that they ever let that cracker named Zimmerman kill our young brother Trayvon. And they going to regret that they let them crackers kill our brother Kendrick Johnson and wrap him in that mat. We finna go buck wild on these cities, and we're going to get the gangsters. We're going to get the rappers. We're going to get the radio. We're going to get the TV. We're going for it all in 2014. And we pushing black power and a black nation and rebuilding the black nation, the image of the black nation. And the main thing, Dr. King in 1967 in his last speech, go pull it up, said we're not poor. In 1967, we spent $30 billion. Well, in 2013 or 2012, we spent $1 trillion. We ain't going to pay people to kill us and to make us look like damn buffoons. We're going to go around this country. And since our young people love rap and they love rhythm, we love TV, we ain't reading as much as we should. We're getting to them by any means necessary. And brothers like this young brother, which you heard him, and you'll be hearing a lot more from him. We got platforms now where we can move that $1 trillion, and we can make Colgate, and we can make Crest, and we can make Gang and Tide and all of these people who get our money give black TV advertising dollars. Now I'm going to let us get to some more questions with Brother Sean, and we got Brother on, and I want him to be able to talk way more than me because I talk every week. Go ahead, Brother.
Black Power.
Black Power. Yes, sir, my brother. Yes, sir, my brother. I'll talk to us briefly about combating these images coming across the mainstream television. I heard you speak on it slightly earlier, but why is it important now more than ever to take charge of the image of the black male and the black female, and particularly what's being taught to our youth?
Well, you got to be realistic. I mean, the curriculum in school today is ineffective. It is destroying our black people. And I'm speaking about how, you know, the young men are sagging, the young ladies are living a lifestyle unseemingly to young ladies. And these are the type of things that we want to, impact and bring about a social change on. I mean, conversation rules the nation. And you can tell the conversation of our community has changed. You know, back when I was in high school 25 years ago, these kids wasn't doing what they're doing today. And I'm not saying we were perfect, but you know, socially our community is changing, and that's because of radio, that's because of TV, and that's because of what's going on in their communities. So we are what we see, and if we don't change that, we're going to continue to go on a downward spiral. And we all know when these major white networks took over radio and moved the black radio owners out of radio, they really did a damage to our people over 10 years ago. So, you know, right now, because we have an opportunity to begin to broadcast online, radio and video, we need to take advantage of it, and we need to reclaim our community in many ways more than once.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And my last question here to you, sir, is what can we expect going forward for National Black TV? What are some of the plans you have for the future? How would you like to expand?
Well, I definitely want to begin to have a, you know, our headquarters, of course, obviously is in Atlanta for now, and we definitely want offices in D.C., of course, in L.A. and New York. We don't have that now. Those are some of the goals, of course, that we have on the table for the organization. We would like to accomplish those goals over the next 48 months. And from there, of course, we would like to establish a base outside of the country, primarily in Africa, and we strongly are looking at South Africa and possibly even Zimbabwe if we can begin to forge a powerful political alliance there that will protect the network and seal some of the things that we need as it relates to data centers and technological things that we're going to need and some security. But I feel very confident about the relationship that we're establishing with the New Black Panther Party and their leadership, and, of course, none other than Minister Hasim Nzinga, and, of course, the party attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and some of the international relationships that they have, that we can begin to step in and do some things technologically for National Black Television outside of America that will really put us in a position of strength, and will seal the deal as it relates to us telling our story exactly the way we want to without any outside influence by any cracker or any other nationality that does not like what we're putting down.
Yes, sir. I like what you're putting down, too, what we're putting down. Would you give us a final statement to the people? We have about 6 minutes left before the air stops, for the broadcast stops airing. What would be your final statement to our people listening in representation of National Black TV and controlling positive black male and female images? What would you like to say to our listening audience in these last 6 minutes?
Well, what I would like to share, once again, I want to thank our dear brother, Minister Hasim Nzinga, for opening up the door and giving me this opportunity to speak to the great New Black Panther Party and all of the brothers and sisters associated with the party, a great party who's done tremendous work for many years in our country in terms of representing and doing great work on behalf of black people in this country and throughout the world, for that matter, with all of the nationalistic organizations outside of America as it relates to black people in Africa and Jamaica and other parts of the world in terms of South America and things of that nature that are speaking up on our behalf as it relates to people that are being disenfranchised throughout the world. And I want to thank our dear brother for seeing that National Black Television can be inclusive in terms of revolutionizing our process as a people in terms of becoming a people that is dignified, that is honorable, that is respected. And when he told me that he saw exactly what I was trying to do and he recognized my spirit when we met, that even made me more fiery. And he'll tell you, I was contacting him like no other because I'm like, shit, man, I want to really work with you, brother, because this is something that I've been wanting to do for many years, and now the time is here. I'm going to make it stick. And one thing about me, he'll probably tell you this, I'll stay on you, man. I mean, and not just because you know, I need it because we are right, but I want the message to get across to our people. And I know that this organization is one of the organizations that's on the front line that can make something work, you know. And there's other organizations that we're working with as well, the Dr. King organization, who's doing tremendous work, and I must keep them out on the forefront. That's SCLC, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, who are still in the highways and the byways working on behalf of our people, trying to bring about social and economic change. And we want to definitely give them their respect, and they recognize that National Black Television was a network, of course, that had what it took to strengthen our people, not just in America, but throughout the world, as it relates to broadcasting, as it relates to telling our story. And from a technological standpoint, those who are programmers that are listening out there, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. There's so many different things that we can do online. We can encrypt this website in every language in the world. I mean, we are in position to revolutionize broadcasting in ways that have never been done before in all of human history and funded it ourselves. So I really want to thank our dear brother for opening up this door and giving me the opportunity to shed this light on our brothers and sisters who know that the time has come for the black man and the black woman to reassume its position in the world. And as the great Honorable Dr. Clark said, if we don't do it today, when will we do it?
Yes, sir. The chairman, I'll turn over to you, sir.
Well, as you can see, as the Honorable Dr. Collett would say, buckle your seatbelt. This brother went down to Tuskegee, where our big brother, Attorney Malik Zulus-Baz, and Black Lawyers for Justice was there, one of the keynote speakers at the 18th year anniversary of the Million Man March, where unfortunately Minister Farrakhan was ill and couldn't participate, but he had gotten us ready to take that mic and talk to our people. Over 7,000 people in Alabama and the white people started telling Minister Farrakhan, this is the South, y'all ain't coming down here with that. 7,000 people went to that college campus where sometime in the 1800s, a little black janitor out of Hampton University took $300 and built an institution that our children can go to today called Tuskegee, and that was our great brother Booker T. Washington, who brought us our great inventor and our great scientist, George Washington Carver. And so this brother went down there with National Black TV and showed the world what Minister Farrakhan was doing and what the black nation was doing in the South out there in Tuskegee. And that's why we need black TV. You didn't see no BET. You didn't see no Fox. And you didn't see Netflix. You didn't see all these Jewish-ran affiliates down there, where we're getting down and really teaching our people. That's why we have to have our own networks, and I'm so proud over the next couple of weeks I'll be introducing our brilliant, brilliant brother to some giants. I'm telling you, Brother Sean, as Dr. Collett would say once again, I would tell the new Black Panther Party to buckle your seatbelts because we're finna ride, and it's our time, and I know Brother will be back home with you and National Black TV. We're family, and we're ready for the long haul. And I'll turn it back over to our national chief of staff and our host of Black Power Radio, Brother Sean, and let you close it out.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Chairman. And thank you so, so much, my brother. Can you pronounce your righteous name for us? I was trying to get there. What's your righteous name, my brother?
My righteous name is Brother Kayuma Ben Yashirun.
All right, Brother Kayuma.
K-Y-U-L-A-H. Ben, son of the Most High.
Ben Yashurun,
Yashurun.
Yes, sir. I wanted to state that for the record because I was tripping and flipping over that earlier. So I'm good now. Appreciate you so much, my brother, for coming on with us and being our guest. You already know that you're welcome anytime that we're on this air. Our network, our relationship, our bond is strengthened. And I can't wait to get that promo code and give me a dollar for bringing somebody in. That's a beautiful thing. And so thank you so much, my brother. We appreciate you, and salute your work.
I appreciate you. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High.
All praises to you. Brothers and sisters, that is National Black TV, National Black TV live. You're listening live. Black Power Radio, and you just heard from the CEO. It gets no higher than that. The CEO of National Black TV has joined us and has certainly blessed us, and if nothing else, but a lot more, has inspired us to do for ourselves. And as I told you, black people are now making our own networks, and we're doing a lot more. You're going to hear more about the Black Power Tour coming up with them types like Public Enemy, Ice Cube, and so on and so forth, the Bun B's. You're going to hear about that. But we're doing for sale. We're not begging white people for anything. We are going to do for self. We're going to build for self, and we're going to maintain self. And this is a movement that you can support and should support. And so our website is newblackpanther.com. We're revising that the website is going to be awesome and top flight. You're going to enjoy it. And as well, our email is newblackpantherheadquarters@gmail.com. We need more people to support these programs, the free food programs, the free clothes programs, free shoes programs, the mother errors and breakfast programs, the Watch Your Pee program, the police patrols. You got to support some things and participate. And so put your information in at newblackpantherheadquarters@gmail.com. And let's keep building and supporting National Black TV. And so that website, for those who couldn't catch it, the website is nbtv1.com. That's nbtv1, all day, black television. Get yours now as we push forward. The new Black Panther Party, it's all TV station, live, bam, 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 in your face. It's black power. Black power to black people. All power to the people.
As real as it seems, the American dream ain't nothing but another calculated scheme to get us locked up, shut up and back insane. Who denies the future? Rob our names. Kept my history a mystery, but now I see the American dream wasn't meant for me. Cause Lady Liberty's a hypocrisy, lied to me. Wallace for freedom, education, equality never gave me nothing but slavery. And now look at how dangerous it made me, calling me a madman. Cause I'm strong and bold, and with this double of knowledge of the lies you told, promised me emancipation and this new nation. All you ever gave my people was starvation. Fathers of the country never cared for me. They kept my ancestors shackled up in slavery. And Uncle Sam never did a damn thing for me. Set lies about the facts in my history. So now I'm sitting here mad cause I'm unemployed. But the government's glad cause they enjoy it when my people are down so they can screw us around. Time to change the government now. Pass the power.